Let's pray for them. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for Matt and Melissa. Lord, I pray for every area of your life, of their lives, Lord, to be surrendered over to you, and that you'd strengthen them during every trial that they're going through. And God, I pray that you would begin to just give them a revelation and show them how great and how big and how mighty you really are, and that you are the God that judges, that you are the God that takes vengeance for us. And so, Father, I just pray, as you said in your word, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. God, I pray that they would surrender to you in every area and put their trust and their hope in you, God, over every area of their lives. And God, those things that are holding them back, Lord, that you would release them in the name of Jesus. And God, that you would provide, Lord, you would provide as they surrender to you. That you would open up doors for jobs for Matt, Lord God. That you would touch his physical body and heal him, Lord, as he yields every area of his life over to you, God. That you'd strengthen their marriage in the name of Jesus. We thank you, God, for them. We thank you for your work in their life. And we know that you're able to do exceedingly above what we could ask or pray for this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Anyone else? Today. Well, yeah, the physical is the light part, spiritual is the heavy part. In James, when it says to pray for healing, it says to confess our sins to one another that we might be healed. And so as you guys, as a couple, yield your lives over to the Lord, God's power and healing. So there's the word of the Lord. There's God's word to you today. Is there anyone else? Experience the glories of Christ now as we serve Him. Anyone else? Well, I want to invite you to turn, and I'm excited about Matthew 4. This is the last of the temptations of Jesus. And if you want to go through temptations, I would challenge you to preach on temptation. And it hasn't been an easy last few weeks, but God has been good, and God is showing things and doing things in my life, and I hope He is for yours, because when you learn this thing, when you learn what Jesus did and how Jesus handled things, we can deal with these things. We can deal with anything that comes our way, no matter how horrible or how bad it is, or how difficult it is, or how much we feel pushed down, or how much we are how great the discouragement is in our hearts, we have the tools necessary to say, "Be gone, Satan." We have the tools necessary to declare the power of God's word over our lives. And as Jesus comes and faces this temptation, the last few weeks we've talked about three things, and I just want to go back and revisit the Garden of Eden again, because when the devil came and said, you know, and he got them to believe the self-gratification, he got Eve to see the desires of the flesh, that the tree is good, that these things that are outside of God's will are good. That's what he deceives us into thinking. And then the second temptation was the pride of life. And he said, if you eat of this fruit, it's going to make you wise. And so it's self-protection. It's like, I'm going to put God to the test and I'm going to step out. And my brother John came up and talked this morning. I hope you don't mind, John. But he gave some excellent examples of testing God, but yet so easy to understand. He said, if I pull out in front of a car on a highway and expect God to protect me, is that testing God? And absolutely it is, because God has called us to be good stewards over our lives. And so it's a good example of testing God, of something that we know that we're not supposed to do, that God didn't call us to do, which basically brings on self-harm. It's not of God. So that's self-protection. And the last, what we're going to talk about today, is self-exaltation, or the desires of the eyes. And there's many things around us that we see. So I want to, first of all, read that section of Scripture beginning in verse 8. Again, in Matthew chapter 4, verse 8, again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. I want you to see just for a moment the whole picture here. Remember how he said, jump off this temple and he will give his angels charge over you? But that was outside of God's will. Now he says, I want to give you what you already have. Did you get that? So I'm going to give you all the kingdoms of the world. You say, wait a minute, if Jesus already had that, how is that a temptation to Jesus? Because the way to glory was God's will for him to suffer and die on a cross. That's why he was praying so vehemently that his body, his sweat glands opened up and blood was coming out when he said, not my will, but yours be done. He so much, just as you and I wanted to shortcut God's plan. And so when the devil came and offered him all of this right now, this easy path, without going through the suffering of the cross, that's what we're talking about today. And so when we talk about the desire of the eyes, Eve and Adam saw the fruit. It was desirous to have. If you ask, if I were to say to my dear wife, I'm going to go to the grocery store, panic ensues. What do you want to go to the grocery store? Because she knows, the budget person knows, the budget Nazi knows, that if I go to the store by myself, I have a pair of eyes, and many times I don't just get what I need or what we're supposed to have. Oh, there's all kinds of flavors of ice cream. Look at the candy aisle. You know, we shop at Aldi, so the first thing that comes up when you walk in that door is all the chocolates and the candy and the cookies. That's the first aisle. I think that was designed for husbands. It gets them in the door. But you and I have eyes, and we see things all around us that we want. Now, I have a running joke. On the opposite side of the coin, just so to make sure that we have a fair and balanced marriage, when we go into a clothing store and Tanya says, okay, it's time to go, and then we're walking down that long aisle to get to the front. I mean, it's a long ways up there from the back, and there's all kinds of things, and so I usually put my hands like this over her eyes, joking, and because, oh, what says over there? And it's the same thing for me too. But we have part two, yes. The eyes, the desire of the eyes. We have what we want. And when you go in cities and you see those horse-drawn carriages in the city with cars and people going by, what do those horses have on them? They have what's called blinders, so they can only just see where a narrow place where they're going, so they don't get spooked or attracted to or scared by or distracted by the things that are around them. And as we come into the Word of God, this is exactly what Satan does with Jesus. He took him to a high mountain. And if you've never been on a high mountain, I would encourage you to try to go to the highest mountain in West Virginia. Or if you can go to Colorado or Montana or some places like that, get on the top of a high mountain. You can see all the cities and all the towns. You can see so many acres, so many area. You can see a lot. So he didn't just take Jesus to the candy store. He took him to the top where he could see it all. He said, Jesus, if you would just bow down and worship me, I'm going to give you all this. All the kingdoms of the world. The strong Roman Empire at the time. All the nations. And this was a supernatural thing too, because Jesus saw all the kingdoms of this world, it says in the text, all at once. Can you imagine past, present, and future? All the great kingdoms, all the great armies, all the great tanks, all the great power, all the great wealth, all at once. Here, Jesus, you can have this now without going to the cross. See, we have an eye problem here. And one of the biggest ways that you and I are tempted is by what we see. And when we see things in the natural realm, in the flesh, we want to get those things in an unholy way. We want it right now. We want it right before our eyes. We want to take it. And so what is self-exaltation? It's an eye problem. But number one, it's when we begin to see anyone or anything as having authority over God or as being more important than God. So the devil takes him up to this high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and all their glory and all their might and power. And he said, I'm going to strike a deal with you, Jesus. And the Bible does say that he is the prince and the ruler of this air. He is the one that orchestrates and sets up the world's kingdom. He has demons over every nation, every place, every thing. He said, I'm just going to give you rulership over all this if, and there's always a catch, you bow down and you worship me. See, the first thing that self-exaltation does, or us putting ourselves above God and pride, allowing pride to set in when we see something and we want it, is that we give that thing or that person the authority, or we place a greater importance on it than God. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, where Jesus was quoting, God goes extensively through and says, you know, when you get into the land and you have all these blessings and all these good things, be careful that you don't settle in and begin to worship other idols and worship the blessings that I'm giving you. God warned the Israelites of that, and that is our human nature. And so he was tempting Jesus in that very area. So the devil is waiting to strike a deal in exchange for worshiping him. Now, probably none of us, if we're followers of Jesus and we've been in church for a while, we're not going to say, I'm going to sell my soul to the devil, like some of those rock artists that became rich and wealthy that sold their souls to Satan. It's more subtle than that. You know, he comes and he tempts our eyes with something, and then we kind of just slowly say, well, this feels pretty good, or this tastes pretty good. I'm going to get some more of this, even while God says, no, this is not how you do this, or this is not how you go about this. I'm just going to, and pretty soon that thing goes from down here to up here in importance in my life. I find myself going back to that place, back to that throne room where I fall down and worship it. And pretty soon, before you know it, I've struck a deal with the devil in a very subtle way. And I have bowed down to him indirectly through the idol that I've allowed in my life. The next part of self-exaltation is when we take the easiest path to glory or getting what we want apart from God's will. This reminds me of the book Pilgrim's Progress. If you haven't read that, that's a classic. John Bunyan, one of the Puritan writers, encourage you to read that. But there's an easy path, and then there's a very difficult road and a difficult path. Jesus talks about this. He says, broad is the way, the path that leads to destruction, but narrow is the way that leads to life. As human beings, we see something and we want it now. Do you have the money to buy that now? No, but I want it right now. I see, how about lust, lusting in our hearts and minds, whether it's towards a person or a material thing. We see it and we say, oh, and God says, nope, my way and my plan for that is through a marriage with one woman and leaving your father and mother and cleaving to your wife. You see how that works? Is when we take the easiest path to glory or getting what we want. It was very tempting to Jesus. Jesus was fully human. He knew, if you knew you were about to be hung on a cross and beaten, wouldn't you say, I guess God wants me to rule the earth, so this looks like an easy way to do it. But Jesus resisted that temptation. Why? Because there's only one God to worship. When we take the easiest path. Now, I'm not saying that when God leads us to do things, when God is in things, things go well and sometimes easy, but sometimes difficult. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about when we see something with our eyes and we see a shortcut that's outside of God's will and we like water flowing down a mountain, we take the path of the least resistance. But Jesus said that leads to destruction. So that's self-exaltation. The third part of that is when we want to take the quickest path. And so not only are we following what feels good right now, but we're following our impulses. I want to have this thing right now. Right here it is, right before my eyes. I can just reach out and take it. I might have to do it in an ungodly way to get it because God hasn't given it to me right now. But I can reach out and take it right now. All the kingdoms of the earth I will give you if you bow down and worship me. So it's the sinful impulses. So I want you to think a moment about your feelings and your impulses. God does give us our feelings, and they're good for a reason to be used for His kingdom. But Satan loves to capitalize on our feelings and impulses. Now, I would say for my generation and younger people, we do have a very difficult time because we're raised with things that we see on TV to go follow our impulses. It doesn't matter if it steps on somebody else. It doesn't matter if I uproot my family. Oh, all of a sudden I just say, oh, God's called me to go do this, and this feels right to do it. And in the wake of that, my children's lives get all upset and destroyed. And so what we're saying here is don't follow just your impulses and feelings. Make sure your feelings, and God does use feelings, come from a grounding in the relationship with the true God. What our sister read out of Revelation, holy, holy, holy. Do we have that connection and that reverence and that awe and that fear for God? Because then the feeling's going to flow out of who God is rather than just a fleshly impulse. We take the quickest path to get there. Let's just be honest, folks. What we see in society today, it is to take the easiest and the quickest way out. It really is. Excuse me. As we lead into this, I want to just use one example. When I look at my grandfather and grandmother, my grandmother specifically led me to the Lord when I was 5 years old. And I look at their lives and I look at certain ways and certain choices that they have made in their lives. My grandfather got up in the early, early, early in the morning to go work. Worked very hard, very long. My grandmother would get up with him and help him pack his lunch and make things. And then, you know, she would go to the extreme to doing all the things that she did at home with raising the kids. She would even iron his underwear. And I look at their lives, and I look at how God's blessed them now. They are in a position where they are able to give and to help a lot of people. You know why? They didn't buy or act on impulse when they were young. They gave up a lot of things. Did they have the money to buy certain things? Buy a better thing than just the farmhouse that they lived in? Yeah, they did, because my grandfather was an electrician. He worked for Post Cereal and all that. But they didn't do that. They, so to speak, suffered, if you will. Now my grandfather, because of that, has been able to give to a lot of people and help a lot of churches financially. But I would say that in the physical realm, that is one example of suffering for the glory that comes later. My grandpa can go and buy a new truck whenever he wants. Because they suffered and gave up. The impulses then, this is a very practical thing to think about, but what about spiritually? If we don't give into our impulses now, just think about how much greater it will be later in our lives. Whether it's our relationships, whether it's waiting for the right person to marry, whether it's waiting for the right job that God's going to give us and not giving in to our impulses. Whether it's taking a job that is beneath us or pays less than what we think we could get and allow God to open up the door to bless us. Even though that job might be difficult, well, they're not paying me what I'm worth. Maybe that's the path God wants you to go. But our impulses lead us to take the quick and the easiest way out. This is our generation. This is where we struggle. This is where the devil gets his claws, slimy claws, inside of us and destroys our faith with God. But then it gets even worse. The last thing of what self-exaltation is that we steal worship from God, and this becomes full-fledged idolatry. So when we see, we want it, and really this is a form of self-worship. I just love myself so much. I got to have this now. I'm going to take the shortcut to get there. It's self-worship. And even worse are our addictions to things, whether that be lust or anger or a vengeance or getting back at people, whatever it might be. Those are forms of idol worship. So now we've gone from giving the authority over to something else to taking the easiest path and the quickest way to now we've set up an idol on a pedestal, and not only are we worshiping ourselves, we're worshiping that item or that addiction or that habit or that thing. I hope that makes sense. So why is this self-exaltation so destructive? Because it blinds us to God. Remember we talked about those horse blinders? We can only see God when we have our holy horse blinders on. But the devil and the world wants us to have the blinders on like this, so we can't see God, but we can see everything else around us. So it blinds us. So it breaks and hinders our intimate relationship with God. Later on in Matthew chapter 5, it says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall" what? "See God." It breaks our intimate relationship with God. And that's what the devil was going for. If I can get him to worship me, he's no longer going to realize that he's God and that the Father is God. And I'm going to steal the worship. It breaks and hinders our intimacy with God. Secondly, it defies God's moral governance and complete sovereignty over the universe. What do we mean by that? We're talking about God's rulership over everything. When we step in and say, "I got a better plan," or "I got a better way because I can see it now, and I'm going to reach out and grab a hold of it," we defy the very fact that God rules and controls everything. And just as a brother shared in joys and concerns today, that as Michael shared, God takes what The devil means for evil and turns it into good because he's sovereign. Because he has rulership over our lives. And thirdly, it is temporary at the expense of the eternal. He says, I'm going to give you this now. But Jesus, knowing, having to suffer on the cross, and we sang about it today out of that passage of Philippians, one day every tongue will confess, every knee will bow that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's in Philippians. Jesus is glorified and has an eternal kingdom now because he settled. He didn't settle for less. He said, I'm not going to give into this temporary thing for what's not going to last at the expense of what lasts. You remember guys in the Old Testament, Jacob and Esau? They both wanted God's blessing. And what did Esau, what did Jacob do to get the, he was a deceiver. And then look at Esau. Esau sold his whole birthright just to get a meal. He gave up the eternal, everything, just to get a meal. So he comes to him and he says, I'm hungry and all of this. And then Jacob says, I'm gonna deceive this guy. If you give me the firstborn rights as a firstborn son, even though you're the firstborn son, I'll give you this pot of good stew. And he could smell it. Smelled so good. Folks, we look at that and we say, that was absolutely ridiculous. I would never do that. But we do that when we go into the stores. We do that when we go into the world, when we see things on the internet. We do that. I'm going to settle for something less now when God has something eternal. God has offered to us forgiveness and salvation and atonement and righteousness. And so this blinds us to the reality of life, which is eternity, not the here and now. All of this is going to burn up and be destroyed. But the reality is the kingdom of God and the return of Jesus Christ. It causes us to take the path of least resistance and settle for less, but also the quickest path and most comfortable, and we miss out on God's true blessing for our lives. You know, what if the Israelites... What if there wasn't a Caleb? When Caleb, and here's how the devil uses our eyes in a negative way. This was a positive way. He uses it for fear in this case. They go and spy out the land. God says, I want you to go take the land. This is going to be your land. It's going to be your blessing. And they said, these guys are too big. They're 7 foot, 8 foot, 9 foot tall. They have an army. Look how even big their grapes are. I mean, they're carrying them back on poles. He said, we can't go in there. There's no way. And Caleb says, yes, we can. And he did. And he's one of the only ones of that generation that went in and enjoyed the benefits of what God was going to give them. But that's not the easiest route. The easiest route was to retreat, retreat, retreat. God has called us to follow His path, even if it hurts, because we receive God's real blessing in our lives. Folks, if we could learn, and this is, I think this is the devil's trick, that he's created a whole society that's built on, I want it now. The Burger King slogan, have it your way. And of course, back in the 50s, the guy that sang the song, I'll Have It My Way, was it Frank Sinatra, right? That's a precursor to what our society is built on now. But if we could say, ugh, this hurts, this is not the what I'm feeling right now, this is not the easiest way, there's great blessing in the end because this is God's way. This is how God refines us. This is how God makes us more like Him. And then the fourth thing of why self-exaltation is so destructive is it tricks us into settling for something less by causing us to forget what God has provided and promised for us. If you look at every addiction, everything that we bow down to and worship, it either is a twisted form of what God has already provided, or it's something that's downplayed that God's provided. So just think for a moment the example of the young man or the young woman who can't wait to have an intimate relationship with a man or a woman in a relationship. And they want to have the benefits of it now. And the young generation, the people use this term, friends with benefits. They don't want the commitment. They don't want the hard work. But they want the sex now. But just think about the blessing that God has given us in marriage and in sex. God has created it for His glory. God has created it for our enjoyment. But I can tell you clearly that you can't enjoy it. You can't enjoy it unless it's done in God's way. God has given us different plants and different things to use as medicine and things like that. But if we don't use it in God's way, we won't enjoy it. If we eat too much ice cream and eat too much at the buffet, I can tell you for sure by lots of experience, you won't enjoy it. Oh, I wish I wouldn't have done that. I wish I wouldn't have eaten that last fourth helping of ice cream from the... But if we have modesty, you say, God has given me food to eat. I can enjoy this. But I don't need to gorge on it. It becomes a blessing. See, self-control brings true blessing. I don't like self-control. I don't know about you, but I don't like it. I want to have it now, and I want to have it my way. But then I want to complain later to God and to whoever else is around of why it's not working well or why it's not a blessing anymore. It's exactly what the devil was trying to do. So what is the solution to overcoming self-exaltation today? First of all, oh, wait a minute. Somebody spoke this word in the service, but that under point four it says, when we turn to our idols of choice, we're striving to fill a void that God has already promised to fill in His way. And I find myself saying, when we experience these times of worship in here, man, it feels so good and it's so great and so awesome. Why do I settle for the ice cream? I mean, that doesn't even compare to this. Why do I settle for the alcohol? Why do I settle for a corrupt relationship or unhealthy relationship? Why do I settle for self-glory when this is so much greater to enjoy God in His presence and to be honoring Him and filling that void that He created us to fill with Him? We're created for the glory of God. We're created for worship. So worship is the only thing that fulfills us to the fullest. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. So what is the solution? First of all, to develop a lifestyle of extravagant worship to God. And I'll just say worship. I'm not talking about, you know, stand up and sit down. You know, I really just hated that growing up. And, you know, it would be like, okay, we have some time left in the service, so let's turn to hymn number da-da-da-da-da just to fill the rest of the time. And so you're standing up and sitting down just to fill the time with these songs, and there's no worship. And then the guy's up there going like this, good singing today, good singing today. We're not here to sing. We're here to worship the Creator. We're here to enjoy Him and Him enjoy us and be in His presence. Develop a lifestyle of extravagant worship like David did. Dance before the Lord with all of his might. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind and strength. That is the joy that overcomes impulsive living, is becoming a big worshiper. Recognizing, and when we become a big worshiper, we have to recognize God's holy and sovereign over the universe. And we have to be humble. So there's no room for self-exaltation when we're worshiping God. It just doesn't fit together. So make a practice of worshiping Jesus. Throw a worship CD in. Get a psalm out and read it out loud to the Lord and enjoy Him. That will beat off pride. Refuse to compromise and bow down anything but Jesus. And then what we had already mentioned in Matthew 5:8, develop a pure heart. In other words, a pure heart is aligning our mind and emotions with what pleases God. So when we're worshiping God, all of a sudden our desires change and we see things, but I don't think I really want that. Because we're worshiping God. We know what tastes better. You know, I had a bad habit of eating out a lot, and probably more so when I was single. And there's a lot of nasty stuff when you go to restaurants. I mean, not even if it's healthy. I mean, the stuff that people put back in it in the kitchens. And, you know, if you knew, you probably would never go out to eat again. Well, when I started, I got married, and Tanya's a great and a wonderful cook. And we try to eat vegetables and things that you're supposed to eat. Now that we eat those things more, yeah, there's those times I want to go have that McDonald's burger, but it really doesn't make me happy like it used to. Because I want okra. I want green beans. It doesn't satisfy. So when you have a diet of the right things, you're no longer going to want the wrong things. And that's true spiritually. We have a diet of worshiping Jesus. And every day, that looks appealing, but I know what that burger does to my stomach later and how it stunts my growth and how it does all these other things and how it gives me cancer. And worship Him. That's why Jesus said to the devil, here's what the Word says, worship the Lord your God and serve Him only. Secondly, to learn to live in the glory of the cross of Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you what, we're going to take some time to dive into that deeper next week, because this is a depth of meat in this message that I really want to convey next week. Because Jesus decided not to give up the suffering of the cross and sell his soul to the devil and strike a deal with the devil. But because he did that, we too can live in the glory of the cross and not give in to this temptation. So what are you going to do when the devil comes and says, see, look at this. Look all around you. Look what's available. But if I haven't been worshiping Jesus, if I haven't been thinking, okay, when I go to work, how can I worship Jesus by how I treat my boss? How can I worship Jesus by how I deal with this situation in my life? How can I worship Jesus with the computer and the iPhone that I have? How can I worship Jesus with all the things that God has blessed me with? Then and only then will all those things, those things that are less, the broken cisterns will seem like, I'm not interested, because we've gotten the real thing. I think the problem is when we struggle with temptation and addictions in the church today, is we're trying to overcome addictions and habits and hang-ups, and we're trying really hard, but really it comes back to getting the real thing so that we're satisfied with the real thing. And don't want to go to substitutes. Comes back to worship the Lord your God. Serve Him only. Worship the Lord your God. Serve Him only. So let's help one another worship the Lord in every area of our life. He's Yahweh. He's God. He's holy. Only He can fill the void in our lives. Father, Jesus, as a human being with a sin nature, I admit fully that I like the quickest and the easiest way out. But yet, I struggle with the insanity of when I experience you in worship, that it's so much more fulfilling, so much better. So, Father, I pray, won't you draw us? Won't you attract us with the beauty of your holiness and lure us into your infinite graces, where it says in John 1, you've given us grace upon grace. One blessing after the other, revealed in your Son Jesus, the light and the truth. God, I pray that you would hit each and every one of my brothers and sisters today with the greatness of your glory. God, that we would be so humbled by how big of a God and how great of a God you are, that we will never settle for bowing down to anything less, especially bowing down to ourselves. Lord, forgive us, clean us out. And God, we ask that you would strengthen us and give us the power of your Son Jesus to say, be gone. And we say today, be gone, Satan. Worship the Lord your God and serve him only. We declare today we serve you only, God. We worship you only. And we lay aside our idols today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to encourage you as you go, hold on just a minute, as you go to this week, whatever idols God reveals, if it's you, take yourself off the stand. If it's an addiction, take that off the stand and say, God, I want to worship you and serve you only. Yes, sir.